"You are too strict with your son," said a well-intentioned mother to a friend. "You're too old-fashioned. You do not allow your boy to go with rougher boys, and you require him to be at home by 9 o'clock at night. Times have changed, you know." The boy's mother, after hearing this, answered that mother and said, "We're responsible to God for the training of our boy, and what a responsibility it is." "I take this verse with great seriousness," said this mother. "A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The son of the strict mother grew into manhood, entered college, and became a highly respected Christian citizen. The son of the other began to drink, committed a crime, and was sent to prison." You see, the topic of discipline deserves discussion, especially today, and especially in today's church. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible defines discipline by saying it is to train by instruction and control. It is reading God's word and yielding to God's will. Now, those wise and disciplined words of that Christian mother are as applicable today as they were when they were originally written. And the very fact that she supported her stance on discipline with God's written word suggests that there is a doctrine of discipline that is laid out in a timely manner for us to follow in the breadth of Scripture. Thus, the chronology of Christian discipline is a time-sensitive plan that prepares parents and caregiving adults for the tall task before them in disciplining and rearing and preparing present and future Christians of all ages. And this sermon applies not only to parents who have small children, but it applies to all parents with all children. The timeline that Scripture sets, not surprisingly, begins at birth and lasts until the end of life and is guided by God through the various sources that He selects, starting with the parents. Is it any wonder why someone once said, "The cure of crime is not in the electric chair, but rather in the high chair"? Pastor Tony Evans shares this story. He says, "Once I got suspended from school in the eighth grade for fighting. Some boy messed with my fried chicken. They serve fried chicken for lunch, and that boy took a piece of chicken off of my plate. They had to call my father from his job." Says Evans, "Now my father worked by the hour, which meant that he had to punch out to come and see why his son, the preacher's kid, had gotten kicked out of school. He went to school and came to the principal's office where I sat waiting. I'll never forget my father's face as he listened to the story of how I came to get into trouble. I'll also never forget my father's response. He told the principal, 'Sir, you will never, ever, ever have to worry about my son ever being suspended from school ever again.' As we walked out, he said, 'Do you know how much this visit cost me? I'm going to take this payment out on you.' Even though I was disciplined, he still fed me. Even though I was disciplined, he still clothed me. Even though I was disciplined, there was still a roof over my head." Says Evans, "Even though I did something to irritate him, he was my dad, and he was tenaciously committed to me." You see, Tony Evans' father was committed to making his son a disciple, and he would employ whatever means available to make that happen. Now, in the Gospels, in the four Gospels, and in the book of Acts, five books, we see the word disciple appear more than 250 times. Add to that the word discipline, which appears more than 30 times, and we can understand and see how important this topic of discussion or this topic of discipline is and the discussion that should come from it. God has a lot to say about it. In fact, Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, a passage that we read and share a lot right here in the Covell Community Church. And he told them to go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, Jesus says. You see, this disciple-making and discipline is easiest when it starts with our children. And it's important for us to know today that the chronology of Christian discipline is first parental. And then it's personal, and then it's spiritual. But know this, it is always instructional. Always. And that's non-negotiable. And when we fail to teach and discipline our children according to biblical doctrine, consequences await. Now, you may be one of those consequences, or you may know individuals who have suffered those consequences. And we can look back and we can say, somewhere along the line, somebody failed to discipline those children. Today, we have a crisis at hand. Today, Christian discipline needs to be reintroduced to society and among our families. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5, we're introduced to King David's son, Adonijah, who coincidentally crowned himself king without his father's consent. Solomon, another son of King David, was promised the throne, but Adonijah decided to take matters in his own hands and create a self-perpetuated procession, ushering in his newly designated kingship, of which he went ahead and did. Now, according to Scripture, this act was not approved, nor never approved, by David. But what is of more interest is what we read in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 6, where it clearly indicates that his father, Adonijah's father, King David, had, quote, never disciplined Adonijah at any time, not so much as a single scolding. Are we surprised by this? You know, someone once said, parents who are afraid to put their foot down have children who will step on their toes. Today, we have a lot of toe stepping. We have a lot of disobedience, and we have a lot of disrespecting among parents in society. Let me ask you a question. We did this in the first service. This is the most resounding response I think I've ever had in the 20-plus years at the Covell Community Church. Feel free to raise your hand. Feel free to stand up. Make it look like the wave in this audience today. You can do this. Here we go. First question. Feel free to voice your opinion if you want. An amen can be appreciated. How many people believe that parental discipline is declining today? Raise your hand. Say amen. Whatever you want to do, because we all believe it, right? Yeah, think about it, did you? Now it's going to get a little more uncomfortable. Prepare yourself. You may want to try to hold that arm down on this one. How many people believe that Christian parents are equally culpable for the decline in discipline that is being seen in our society today? Not as fun to put your hand up with that one, is it? You see, as a pastor, I don't even want to put my hand up for that one. But it's evident not only outside of the church where there is a lack of discipline, but we're seeing it with parents and individuals inside the church who do not believe in godly doctrine of discipline, and today we are suffering from this. Today, we have a lack of discipline that is plaguing us. What are we going to do about it? The parent's role in disciplining. Folks, listen closely what it is. It is teaching, it is training, it is loving, it is punishing, it is scolding, it is encouraging. A parent's role in disciplining their children cannot be underscored. And it serves as a chronological starting point of true Christian discipline that will be lived and then shared later in life. I want to look at our sermon text today. It's Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. We're going to be reading, we don't usually do this, but we're going to be reading from the NIV today. So if you have an NIV Bible, you'll be able to follow along perfectly. Otherwise, if you brought your Bible, follow along or read up here on the screen with me. Here we go, verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to our Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, according to the chronology of Christian discipline, this act of discipline begins at childhood and is done consistently, this is important, and is done consistently with love by the child's Christian parents. Look at verse 6. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We move to verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Sadly, many. And today more than ever, we're seeing that sadly, many are not disciplined by their mother or their father. Folks, God disciplines his children. Shouldn't we be disciplining ours? If God gives us a biblical model of how to be parents who should discipline, shouldn't we be the examples of those parents regarding our children to discipline? If God says, I want you to become a disciple, shouldn't we say, yes, God, I will follow that model? If God says, I can tell you how to raise your children, shouldn't we look at God and say, God, I'll read your word, I'll subscribe to your word, and I will subscribe to your doctrine of discipline? And in many cases, we are not. Sadly, many Christian parents today view discipline as only punishment, indicating that they don't see discipline as anything more than that. Disciplined Christian parents understand and embrace the idea that parental discipline is much more than that. It is training and teaching that develops self-control and efficiency. It is the process in which disciples are made by parents who say, I want to be a disciple. And then they strive to love and live and look like a disciple. And their goal is to make their children disciples. That's their goal. Is it ours? Is it ours? Look at verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. I'm going to interrupt myself for just a moment here. When I was growing up, and I was disciplined a lot, and I remember thinking every time my dad had to lay his hand on me, and every time my mom had to lay her hand on me, and I used to think, man, they must not love me. And then I realized later on in life just how much they love me, and just how important it was for me to follow God's word with regards to the doctrine of discipline. You see, what my mom and dad did is they said, I'm gonna do this, and it will be painful. And I didn't realize this at the time. I do now because I am a parent. I can tell you that it is more painful to distribute the punishment than as a kid to receive the punishment. And I realize today, now more than ever, that I think many parents today are afraid to give the discipline and the punishment. And we are paying for it. And look around, folks. Don't ever forget how fast your hands went up when I said, is the state of society with regards to discipline in a state of decline? And every hand went up. We are in a state of decline. It is up to us to do something about it. Let me ask you this. Is your home and the children that live in it a place of peace and righteousness? Now, you can pass this test and you can be assessed this test, but it's not the way we're going to do it or the way we tend to do it. You see, the only way we can assess the test is by asking ourselves this. Are we raising our children according to biblical doctrine? That's how you'll know if you're passing the test. Because we can change the rules all day. In many cases, we have. Society's done a really good job of changing parental rules. They no longer say this applies. In fact, they say it no longer applies. You need to stay away from biblical doctrine. You need to listen to us. We're the experts, and we'll teach you about discipline. And sadly, we have adopted this. And what's even scarier is society kind of likes this. Are we worried about this? The very way that we live our lives, folks, will positively, adversely, or appropriately affect the lives our children lead as they progress through their Christian chronology. Do you want to raise disciples? If you do, if you say, I do want to raise disciples, I want to make disciples, I want to be a disciple, then we better live like a disciple, and we had better listen to and read and follow what God says in the Bible. This is critical. It's critical. And if you look around today, you're going to see a lot of people that will not agree with the Bible. After the dedication of his baby brother in church, little Bobby sobbed all the way home, wiping tears from his eyes in the back seat of the car. His father, who was totally exasperated over this, asked him 3 times as he turned around what was wrong. And finally, little Bobby replied and said, "That pastor said that he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Think about that for a moment. Are we living like Christian parents and showing our children Christian discipline? We determine this by God's word. And God's word has a lot to say about this. For example, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Proverbs 13, 24. If you refuse to discipline your son, it proves you don't love him, for if you love him, you will be prompt to punish him. Proverbs 19, 18. Discipline your son in his early years while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin his life. Proverbs 22, 6. Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. And finally, we're going to read Proverbs 29, 15 through 19. Let me tell you just real quick. We were at my company Christmas party. I know it's late. Last night, and we were sitting at this table with a bunch of fellow Christians. And one of the guys I work with said, Chad, what's the sermon topic tomorrow? And I just laughed, and I said, it's called the chronology of Christian discipline. And they all said, uh-oh. I said, yeah. I said, I have a feeling we might have a mass exodus from the Covell Community Church after this sermon. And so anyway, last night when I did this for this sermon for my wife, and she heard this, and I said, what do you think? And she said, oh boy. And she said, has to be shared. And I said, you're right. I'm going to share a passage with you, folks, that's going to make you squirm in your seat. If you say this pew is comfortable, it's about to get very uncomfortable. This is Proverbs 29, 15 through 19. We need to talk about this. Prepare yourself for this. Starting with verse 15, scolding and spanking. I hope we heard that correctly. Scolding and spanking a child helps him to learn. Left to himself, he brings shame to his mother. How do you feel about that one? Does that make you a little bit uncomfortable? You see, right now, I can tell you this. There are people right now, if they would hear this sermon and listen to this sermon, they would say, how dare you tell me that I have to spank my child? And let me tell you this. I'm not telling you you have to spank your child. God's word is telling you you have to spank your child when it is a last resort. This is not about child abuse or violence. It is about the means of Christian discipline that is shared in God's word. That is what it is. I'm not making this stuff up. It is not the doctrine of Chad Sparks. Rather, it's the doctrine of Christian theology given to us by God himself. We move on. Verse 16, when rulers are wicked, their people are too, but good men will live to see the tyrant's downfall. Here's 17, discipline your son and he will give you happiness and peace of mind. 18, where there is ignorance of God, you'll love this one, where there is ignorance of God, this one applies, crime runs wild, but what a wonderful thing it is for a nation to know and keep his laws. Number 19, sometimes mere words are not enough, discipline is needed, for the words may not be heeded. Now, I'm guessing that there may be somebody in this church today, first service, second service, anybody who listens to this says, how dare you talk about spanking and scolding children in the church? And if I tell you, if we don't say it, who's going to say it? And if we don't do it, who will do it? It's a rhetorical question. No one will. There are times when we have to discuss uncomfortable topics in the Covell Community Church. There are times when we have to discuss things that God wants us to know, and it starts right here in the church, and it is a big one. Christian discipline is big. It is a topic that applies today that we need to talk about. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. When I was a kid, I hated discipline. I hated it. In fact, I used to say it's painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trusted by it. Christian parents who long to be disciples and live and learn and then teach and train and reprove and rebuke will do it by the Bible. Folks, they don't pick and choose. They read and they use. Those passages previously read clearly indicate the importance of rearing our children with loving discipline that follows God's plan. And folks, if you are still sitting there today saying, he just said spanking, you're missing the crux of this sermon. You are getting way too hung up on that word in this sermon. The word that you need to hear with regards to this sermon is the word that I just read, and it is loving. If you love your children the way God loves his children, you'll discipline your children the way God disciplines his children. It is all about love. Chronologically speaking, what is invested in childhood discipline now will more likely yield adult disciples later. I will tell you this, and I say this boldly, and I do not say this shamefully. I am not my daughter's pal. I am their parent. I am not their friend. I am their father. And I am their teacher, and I am their instructor, and I'm their protector, and I'm their provider, and I am their guide, and I am their disciple, and I am an example. And I say that because my goal is that my girls, when they reach adulthood, will look back and say, praise God for my father, who was my instructor, my teacher, my guide, my developer, who loves me, who cares for me, who wanted to be an example and wanted me to become a disciple. That's what I want. And when my kids raise their kids and their kids raise their kids, I would hope that this will become a disciple-making perpetual process that changes the world we live in. That's what I long for. I don't need any more friends. I got all the friends I need. I want my daughters to be God-fearing, loving disciples. That's my goal. That's my goal. Is it our goal? Chronological, parental Christian discipline is an investment. Oh man, it's an investment. It is a slow and painstaking process. It is exhausting at times. And it pays small but identifiable dividends with the hope of a rewarding return. As the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible puts it, it has a positive side steeped in training, instruction, and knowledge, and a negative side covering correction, punishment, and reproof. And what society, in the upbringing of its children, so oftentimes deems as wrong, the Bible has clearly stated that Christian parental discipline is holy and absolutely right. Do not let the world convince you otherwise. Do not. And if you have questions and you say, I want to know more about Christian discipline, don't call me. Read this. Find out what Jesus has to say about this. Find out how God developed his children by this. My opinion means nothing. God's word says everything. And the world who denounces God Almighty and says Jesus Christ has no standing in our society is wrong. Doctor of Theology Lewis Goldberg had this to say about that. He says, some educators and child psychologists deplore any action which causes a hand to be laid on a child or a young person. Obviously, says Goldberg, severe discipline is a court of last appeal, but those who refuse it will suffer the consequences in the end with a rebellious element in society. Parents must take time with their children, really get to know them, and encourage an atmosphere of complete trust. With healthy, open communications, a young person will more likely accept verbal correction and sometimes sharp reproof. Parents should follow through with their discipline and not just issue threats. I'm going to do something. I'm going to count to three. 1, 2, 3. 1,003. 10,003. This is ridiculous. God doesn't issue warnings. He gives us punishment and reproof. He tells us what he's going to do. We have to stick to our word, and we have to stick to this word. And when parents talk, we better mean it, because when God talks, he always means it. Always. And today we are falling on a doctrine that says we can't be those parents that God wants us to be. And I can tell you this. We will disappoint God, and that's what we need to be concerned about when we talk about this. We've got a responsibility, folks. It's time that we change society, and it's time that we impact our families positively. It has to happen. Folks, if not here, then where? Christian parental discipline must start with responsible Christian parents. And if it doesn't, then who does it? Our schools? Do we really think our schools are going to do this? Our schools? They can't even talk about God. Our government, they're trying to dismiss God. Our media, they just ridicule and make fun of God. Does societal, not Christian parental, but societal discipline really work? We have laws and rules and statutes and guidelines to govern the behavior and actions of mankind, but if the child misses Christian discipline in his or her home, is society properly prepared through its mandates and laws to rear and discipline the 17 and under demographic righteously and accordingly? I remember when I was growing up and I was in school, and the first thing I saw on the first day of school when I walked into the office was a paddle with holes in it, and it was a reminder of what would happen if I did something that was against the doctrine of Christian discipline. Now, I'll never forget that paddle. Fortunately, that paddle never met my bottom, but I was aware of it, and I knew about it, and I look back on it, and I think our greatest generation of Americans, of people, knew that paddle. what in the world have we become? Where in the world have we gone wrong? Regarding that question, most studies, can society discipline our children? Most studies say no. And by the time the proverbial kid hits the streets, missing the Christian chronology of discipline that should be parental, but in this case would be societal, the training that should have been received in the warm Christian home is now being realized in the cold prison cell. Does that sound extreme? Someone might say, it can't happen to my kid. I can tell you this, there are a lot of people today who are saying, I can't believe it's my kid. We have a responsibility. How much do you love your kids? How much do you value the sanctity of family? If you do, you will take God's words seriously. It can't happen to my kid. Folks, it's happening. You've seen it, I've seen it, and society's paying for it. Dr. J. Gresham Machen once said this, America is running on the momentum of a godly ancestry, and when that momentum goes, God help America. America needs help. Let me give you an example of something that happened. We were on vacation. We didn't go anywhere, but we went to a store. I'm protecting the identity of the store. We went to a store. You know what I'm talking about when I tell you this. When you go to a store nowadays, it would be not uncommon but usual for you to walk into the store, and the first thing you hear when you walk into the store is the screaming, screaming, screaming efforts of a child. Now, if they're hungry, we get it. If they're in pain, we get it. If they don't feel good, we get it. If they're tired, we get it. But oftentimes, you'll hear the screams of a child that are running rampant, creating terror and horror in that store. That's probably not okay. Now, in this case, that was what it was. It was not pain. It was not hunger. Rather, it was, I'm going to run all over this store and wreak havoc. Fortunately, we were in the toilet paper aisle, which was far away from the other aisle. So we could hear the muffled sounds of this kid going absolutely berserk in the store. But we knew as we shopped that we were getting closer. You could just tell. It just got louder and louder and louder to the point where I get up to the aisle where this kid is. Folks, what I'm about to tell you, you're going to think I'm making up. It is absolutely true. You're not going to believe it. We come to the aisle where the kid is. The kid is running underneath the shelves of the store, pushing the items out into the aisle while his mother and father and his siblings are laughing or either ignoring it. And I just stood there with this sermon in the hopper. I just stood there and I watched. I said, well, of course I'm going to share this story because it applies for everything that we're talking about today. There was no discipline. So I go to customer service. I had to go to customer service anyway. And I went over and I said, are you aware of what's going on over here? And he said, we're aware. I said, does it bother you? He said, you have no idea. He said, do you realize if I did that when I was a kid, my dad would have drugged me out of this store and I would have known what would have been in store. I said, you know what? I would have known the same thing. And I would never have done something like that without knowing the consequences and the fate that awaited me if I did that. Now, just to let you know, because I'm a hypocrite. I am. With a big H right there on my chest. I'm a hypocrite. Because I did some bad things as a kid. Some bad things that forced my parents' hand and made them discipline me accordingly. Let me give you a story. I never shared this before. It's shameful and embarrassing, but it applies. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, Cerro Gordo, Illinois, we used to hang out in Decatur a lot. Decatur was our place to go, and Decatur, back in, I think it was the 70s, got this place called Hickory Point Mall. Hickory Point Mall was the place to be. Everybody loved Hickory Point Mall. And so on one particular year, the J.C.'s Haunted House, which was the coolest thing ever, that was always in bad places, but this particular year, it was at the Hickory Point Mall, which allowed my mom and dad to think it might be okay to go to the J.C.'s Haunted House. So I begged and pleaded with my mom and dad. I said, Mom, Dad, would you please allow us to take all of our friends to the J.C.'s Haunted House? Now, we had one of those conversion vans with a country western scene on the side and one of those moon windows. It was groovy. But we had seating. I mean, that thing was like a bus. And so I asked my mom, and I said, please, please let us take our friends. And they said, okay, call your friends. So I had like 6, 7 friends, I don't remember how many, that got into the van, and we went to the J.C.'s Haunted House. And we had so much fun, and it was so great. Even my dad went through, which was hilarious. So we did it twice, and we were having so much fun. And my mom and dad said on the way home to take all the kids home, my mom and dad said, hey, we need to stop by the grocery store. And I remember the store, I'm not going to mention which one it was, but it was a large store, large parking lot. And my mom and dad, this was in the late 70s, early 80s, where you could leave your kids in the parking lot and not have to worry about anything. So they said, you kids wait out here. And we just loitered in the parking lot. My mom and dad had bought all of us sodas. And so we were out drinking sodas, hanging out in the parking lot, waiting for my mom and dad to come back. And I got an idea. It's not a good idea. And I said, hey, guys, just trying to impress my friends. I said, hey, guys, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a huge drink of soda. When my mom and dad are close enough, I'm going to act like I'm throwing up. Now, one of my friends, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember one of my friends saying, that's probably not a good idea. He was right. So my mom and dad came out of the store. I'm preparing myself. I'm getting myself ready. I'm thinking this is going to be so funny. Preparing myself. Here comes my mom and dad. They've got their groceries, walking out. I had a semicircle of friends watching the congregation. I take the biggest drink of cola, root beer, whatever it was, and I act it out perfectly. Acting shoes on, I make myself look like I am violently ill and spit it everywhere. My first response from my mom and dad were total shock and fear, because I know now, I didn't know them, but I know now that their thinking was, I have a van full of 6 or 7 kids with my son who's vomiting, and I've got to get these kids to their home before he gets sick again. How are we going to do this? That's the shock and fear. At which point, when I saw the shock and fear, I told my mom and dad, I'm just joking. It's a gag. I'm not sick. And the look changed. It wasn't shock and fear. It was anger and wrath. Now, here's what happened. I don't know that I've ever been more ashamed. My mom and dad chose at that point to usher in the discipline right there in front of my friends. So shamefully, I got punished right there in front of all of my friends. My friends never wanted to go anywhere with my mom and dad and myself ever again for fear that it might be them that got it. I can ask my friends today if they still remember the J.C.'s Haunted House, the events that happened afterwards. I bet 3/4 of them would say yes, they do. Here's my point, folks. My parents were unafraid of discipline. They knew that at times they had to discipline. They had to do it at times when they didn't want to and when it was painful. But it was purposeful, and it worked. And looking back on this now, I don't fault my mom and dad. Actually, I praise my mom and dad that they were willing to discipline me the way they did. By the way, if you're looking at me now saying, that kid is a holy terror, you were somewhat right. And I'm sorry. I'm your pastor now. I've changed. I'm not going to do that. Someone once said, how did your parents ever say? I don't know. Paul said in Ephesians 6:4, and now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, here it comes, folks, rather bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. If you are still thinking about spanking, I can tell you, you are missing this sermon. This sermon is about loving our children and disciplining our children and changing society in which they live in. That's what this sermon is about. This sermon is about being responsible parents. This sermon is about seeing the importance of raising our children to be respectful, to be obedient, and to be willing to follow the leadership that is offered by their parents. That's what this sermon is about. We have got to be instructors, we have got to be teachers, and we got to be leaders. That's what we're called to be. And if you say, that's hard, I can tell you it is. I can tell you this. Nobody signs up for that part of it. We just like holding the babies. When we realize we have to teach them and instruct them, not just today, but every day, and folks, I can tell you that if you say, glad my kids are out of the house, this applies to you as well. Every single parent that sits here today, whether your kids are 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, 1, it doesn't matter. It still applies. We are still examples, and we are called to be disciples. That's how it begins. Let me ask you this. Would the Lord approve of your Christian parental discipline? Don't answer based on your own scope, on your own perspective, because that is oftentimes skewed. Would the Lord approve of your discipline? Does it meet his biblical standards? Not our worldly standards, not our personal standards, but rather his biblical standards. Would the Lord approve of your Christian discipline? We must let God's word, not the world, be our guide. Are we leading and teaching our children and by and with Christian discipline? It starts with us. Christian parents who boldly say, I will be your teacher, I will be your leader, I will be an example because I've chosen to be a disciple. Last night, I was giving this sermon, and what happens is my kids attend Trinity Lutheran School, so one of the assignments that they have to do sermon summaries, which means that the kids have to listen to the sermon and take notes. Well, you can see my kids aren't up here, they're downstairs, so we do that at home. They get to kind of preview the sermon. It's kind of a family thing, if it's an outing, if you call it. So my wife, who's the mom, sits in the other room. She has her own ideas, forms her own statements, writes her own things down. Kids are in the other room, the living room, listening, making notes. So last night we get done. I go to my wife. I said, what do you think? And she said, oh boy, And I said, that bad? She said, it needs to be shared. Now, I always know that when she says it needs to be shared, I'm thinking, well, our numbers at the Covell Community Church might decrease significantly based on this sermon. So I said, okay. I said, but it's okay. She said, it's okay. You gotta share it, yeah. And so I go into my kids, and Jada, first one, Jada jumps up and says, Dad, I want to read what I've got. That's mini-me. And so I said, all right, give it to me. And so, and she reads. It's perfect. I mean, it's perfect. It's so good. And I said, sweetie, you got it. 11 years old, you got it. And Jillian said, I said, Jillian, what do you got? She said, it's probably terrible. And I said, put your notes down. I said, those words do not apply in this house, Jillian. I said, we just talked about discipline. You're going to get some discipline now. I said, what you have to say is not terrible. What you have to say is important because you are powerful, because God has given you abilities and strengths, and it's time that you start seeing it that way. And oh, shoot, now the tears are coming. Cam's like, uh-oh, it's discipline time. And she got read the riot act. And I told her, I said, Jillian, you're important. You have special gifts and abilities that God has given you. Never, ever think that anything you have to say is not important, because it is. You are one of God's children with gifts and abilities that other people don't have, and you've got to use these things. Their eyes are like, oh. I said, girls, I'm always going to be honest with you. I'm always going to be honest with you at times when it hurts. I said, let me give you an example. I'm not going to tell you something that's not true. I said, JD, you want to be an artist? You're not a great artist. It's the truth. I said, you're okay. I said, have you seen your cousin? He's amazing. You need to work at that. See, I don't pass out the participation trophies. Not in that house. I don't do it. I said, if you want to be a good artist, you're going to have to work at it. And I trust that you will. I said, Jillian, you got 2 B's. I said, are you happy with that? No. I said, neither am I. Work to make it straight A's. That's your goal. God wants our best. He expects our best. I expect your best. And I want you to work hard every single day. And I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. Now, I'm telling you right now, there are people that in the first service looked at me and said, this guy's a monster. I'm your pastor. And I believe by living through Christian discipline and godly words, that's the way I see it. And I don't want to make up rules as I go along, and I certainly don't want to make this about Chad, because it's not. It's about God. It's about what he has to say about how to raise our children. Because, folks, if you think I figured it out, I have not. We're going by this every day trying to figure this out as we go. But I'll tell you one thing. Praise God, I have God's word that tells me where I need to go. And that's what we're going to do. It is critically, critically important that we see the importance of Christian discipline when raising our children. We have a responsibility in society. Look around, folks. Your hands went up very, very fast with regards to that question. Don't forget that question. Is our society in a state of discipline decline? Look around. Folks, I am now going to every restaurant we go to when I go out, and I am not kidding. If you go out to eat with us, you're going to find out. Every restaurant I go to, the first question is, how long is the wait? The second question is, do you have a seat not close to any small children? It's true. You want to know why? Because I'm tired of the kids reaching over my booth, pulling my kids' hair, screaming, throwing food, acting like they've never been in a restaurant before. If I can stop that from happening, I'm going to stop that from happening. Does that sound bad? It's the way it is. If I go spend $30 on food, I want to make sure I have a pleasant experience. That's just the way it is. I have had it, folks. I've had it. But you know what? We can do something about it. We can. It starts with us. If we can be the examples, if we can be the disciples, we can change society, folks. If they don't see it from us, who do they see it from? Where are they going to get it from? Chronologically speaking, this is where Christian discipline begins, but it does not end here. It does not end here. Parental discipline, folks, listen closely, leads to personal discipline, and this is what we're going to examine next week. So, parents, the chronological clock is ticking. My question is this: are we willing, with love, hear that word loud and clear, with love, are we willing to be constantly with our kids, teaching, instructing, guiding, helping, loving, and disciplining? If you're offended, I'm sorry. If you think this is too harsh, I'm sorry. But I will not change my words, because I can't change God's word. Let's stand and close. Song, Forever Rain. So someone asked me, they said, so what's January going to be like at the Covell Community Church? I said, well, there's going to be some strong sermons coming. So Folks, here it is. This is the means of making disciples. And I can tell you that we're called to be disciples, and that's not easy. I can tell you as a pastor, it's not easy to talk about because, quite honestly, I think society has a way of babying us and making us think that we just can't handle the meat that God puts in His Word. I think we can. And I think we can be better. I think we can do better. And I think we can be the very people that God has called us to be. And again, I say, if it's not here, then where? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, You called us to bring us Your best. We saw with sacrifices in the Old Testament, but we're reminded of what You did for us. You gave us Your best. Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can You expect anything less from us? And so today, I pray that we will be willing to give You, as parents, our best. Our best discipline. Our best child rearing. Our best teaching and instructing and loving. And I pray today, I pray that we will be willing constantly to share Your Word and live by Your Word with our children. Help us, I pray, in all that we do to live by Your Word each and every day. Help us to make disciples and to fulfill Your great commission, I pray. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everyone.